Welcome to Comics,
episode 235. This week, we talk about
Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn OVA.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast.
I just finished watching episode 7.
The only one I didn't get to watch.
It does, like, full-on anime ending.
Oh, good.
Like, it gets all philosophical, and then there's some, like, metaphysical stuff going on, maybe. It's
literally
a bit hard to understand.
For the reasons I think you would expect, I literally cannot wait to talk about this show.
Okay. Did you watch the sub or the dub?
I watched the dub for the first... I watched the dub for the 6 that I watched.
It was impressively well done, but there was a lot of double entendre.
Yes, there was. All over this thing.
Oh, I know what's in the box.
Ooh, okay, wait. I want to hear about this during the show.
Okay.
I want my reaction to be 100% genuine.
Is it his wife's head, like at the end of 7? Dude, every time I fucking log in to Skype, I get a spam request.
And really?
Yeah. Every time.
That's weird.
This time it was somebody named Bianca Bond. That doesn't sound like a stripper name at all.
I have 22 sitting here unread.
I just declined them.
I get those too.
I just leave them sitting there. They'll go away on their own eventually when they get deleted.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, when the account gets deleted and the record of them requesting it gets deleted. Ashley Newcomb. Oh yeah, that's subtle. I am Megan. Naughty Star Kiss. Tootsie Lover 69.
Well, there you go.
Tootsie Lover. Oh yeah.
That's a legitimate actual name.
Yeah.
69.
Amor Kitty Bella Cagnate T-A-Y. These are actual usernames. I mean, not like of real people, but you know.
Not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sorry, guys. I didn't realize these episodes would be like a full hour. And not even like television hour, like... Survivor's on from 8 to 9, and it's really only like 35 minutes because the rest of it's ads. No, this is like a straight up full hour.
Well, I mean, it's kind of my fault too, because like I remember like Saturday night thinking, I should probably prepare for the next episode. Well, Andy said it's on YouTube, so I'll just watch it later.
I literally had it on all day in the background at work today and still didn't finish it in time.
Yeah, I can't, like, that's one thing I can't do is like, I can kind of browse on the internet, but I can't just watch something.
Oh, yeah. I have a second screen. I have my Surface, and I just set it up and have it there while I have the work up.
I do, too, but I feel bad watching that many videos.
Can't quite go to that step.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys want to just get into talking about this?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
This week's comic.
This week we watched Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn, the OVA. There's 7 episodes, and we watched this because somebody, one of the three of us, built the Banshee Norn, the Black
Banshee.
Unicorn.
Sorry.
Yeah. And this,
I don't know why I did that. I totally cut you off.
No, it's fine, because I'm trying to think of how to talk about this, and the only place I can start is under plot in our notes, the first note I put there. It says, I don't fucking know. I just don't know what the fuck is going on here. I kind of had a handle on it for, like, the first 3 episodes. And then I just, like, at that point, like, one person had been captured by the other and then rescued. And then, like, Banager became the Unicorn Gundam pilot, got captured, rescued himself, kind of. They just let him go, I guess. But then Merida got captured, and then Merida came back out, and they tried to, rescue Merida, but they couldn't, and then Merida, deprogrammed her. I don't know. I don't even fucking know.
So
a lot happened in 7 hours.
Yeah, basically, there's a box and a key, and the box is important, and war is bad.
To save time, because I was on a mountain, well, in a valley, technically, for the past 4 days. But there was no Wi-Fi at either. I did go on both. I did not have time to watch this, so I watched episodes 6 and 7.
Which are the two episodes because Jen texted me and was like, hey, so can I get a quick recap and just watch the two that have this stupid Gundam in it? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I gave her a 4-sentence breakdown of it for what I have watched for episode 1 to 4. And I've watched 1 to 6. I haven't watched 7. Jen, what did you watch just 6 and 7?
6 and 7.
And then what did you watch, David?
I watched 1 to 4.
Okay.
You did a good job here.
This is going to be, hey, we put in 4 hours. It's more than we put in for most comics.
I really, I tried to watch all of it. I didn't realize they were an hour long. And so I fell asleep watching it twice. Not because it's boring. Because I just never, I no longer operate on enough sleep.
Yeah.
It's my constant state. Like today at lunchtime, I probably could have watched one episode, but I opted to take a nap in my car. If that tells you,
good call.
what parenting is like for me.
Okay, so let's try and recap. I'm going to recap, and David, you can back me up on the first four episodes.
Well, let me preface this: even though we're recording, even though none of us have actually watched the entire thing, what I did. What I did watch, I enjoyed it. I did like it, so I'm gonna go back and watch the rest of it for sure.
I'm still torn about how much I like this, but I have one episode left. I got a lunch break tomorrow, but I'm gonna watch it. But okay.
I'm probably gonna watch more of it as soon as we're done recording this episode.
Okay, so starts off this stupid kid, Boniger?
Well, actually, wait, before we get too deep into this.
Okay.
I feel like many Gundam shows start this way.
Yes.
Remember how we watched? So remember we read Gundam,
The Origin.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with Amuro Ray on the
some kid on a station.
On a space station who gets a Gundam thrust upon him
while his station is under attack.
Yeah, and so then we have.
But then it turns out he's perfect for the Gundam.
Right, and so then we have Gundam Unicorn. Same kind of story. He happens to be a new type, and his dad is the guy who made it.
Like Amuro.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. So, okay, then we got that. And so also Gundam Seed. I don't think we're watching Gundam Seed for this.
No.
So Gundam Seed, same thing. It's the same thing. there's a kid on a space station who ends up being, the only person who can... Oh, no, so in Gundam Seed, the kid is he's kind of a new type, except it's not Universal Century, so they don't call them new types. They call them, what do they call them? It starts with a C, controllers or something. I forget exactly what it is. But he's able to, hack the Gundam's operating system to allow himself to, figure out how to do it. Oh, and that's the one where Gundam is an acronym for the operating system.
Okay. Yeah, I remember telling
you
that.
And in that one, there's a really strong pilot who wears a mask, and it's just, there's always a blonde dude that wears a mask, I think.
There's always a fake Char.
Well, even, in Gundam Wing, there's the guy who pilots Tall Geese that I can't remember what his name is now. Oh, God, I feel like I'm a terrible Gundam fan. But he has a mask, too. And that's the point I'm trying to make, that there's always a blonde guy with a mask.
Okay.
Who is the antagonist
to some kid.
Not necessarily a bad person.
Yes. Okay, so some kid Boninger. I'm going to call him Some Kid from now on, because honestly, I kept forgetting his name, even though it's fucking Boninger.
When I was watching it, when I first started watching it, I was watching it with the subtitles.
Yeah.
And when I saw his name in the subtitles, I was like, what?
His name is
Bang Her.
I kept reading Bang Her too. I had to switch to the dub
because so I was reading to Bang the Her. Dub. And yes. Then when they said it as Boninger.
Oh, Boninger, that's right.
Boninger. You gotta do the syllables correctly. I still couldn't take the
name. Fastest on the right syllable.
It's like just it's a poor choice of name.
So yeah. This dub, I wanna point out that this dub was excellent. As yes. far as dubs go, but oh god, they had so many double entendres, and that paired with them constantly shouting "full frontal" was just too much.
I love it so much. Full frontal. I want full frontal to be piloting the full package.
Oh yeah, that's from them.
I want a full frontal full package.
Hey, you know what you could do is Christ. You could probably make your own custom mobile suit. That combines
those two together?
Full frontal and the full back.
Dude, the problem... Okay, but okay, straight up though, I looked up the rest of the sets for this show, and except for the unicorns, they're all super fucking expensive because they're all massive. Like, the quad wing one is huge. Like, Char's special one's huge too. They're all like $40 for a high grade. And I'm like, I'm not paying $40 for a high grade. I'll pay $20, you know, maybe. $40 actually, is like master grade territory.
I have one of the mobile suits from this. I haven't made it yet, but it's one of the like, God, what's it called? The like soldier ones.
Just like mobile suit.
Yeah, it's one of the. It's the green one. I forget what it's called.
No.
God damn it! I was like wanted to share something, and I.
It's fine. You already explained how you're constantly tired.
It's basically the green. It's the Zaku.
Okay, the Zaku of the show.
Okay. It's a green one. It's really cool.
Okay. So Boninger gets a unicorn thrust upon him because he happens to be the son of this Vist Foundation, which has a box, and the box can undo the Federation, even though nobody knows what the fuck the box is or what's in it. It's all just like a rumor, right? Like, at some point, I'm kind of guessing they just made up the idea of the box. I haven't seen episode 7, so maybe that's the big spoiler here. Gets the unicorn thrust upon him, fighting. He gets captured by the Neo-Zeons, the Sleeves, who are in, like, a shitty old freighter for some reason. I don't know. They take him back to their asteroid colony place or whatever, and he goes and eats dinner with Merida, who is the, from the Neo-Zeon group. She's the one who pilots this quad wing, like, massive fucking thing.
That one's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really fucking sick. I love that one. It's like super extreme, but it's kind of cool. And he finds out, oh my god, the enemy is people too, and we shouldn't fight. I knew it all along. War is bad. Even though he just saw all of his friends die, but, you know, had to have dinner with this woman. And then he gets kind of rescued / let go. And then in fighting, yada, yada, Merida gets captured. Turns out she's a cyborg new type or a cyber new type. Cyber new type. So she was artificially created to be new typey.
Okay. So I was wondering what it meant.
Yes. She was a cyber new type. So they did it with like surgery and brainwashing basically. And when she
genetically modified as well.
Yes. So when she, gets captured, they reprogram her to fight for this foundation that wants to take this place as super rich and owners of the box for, I don't know, I'm probably way off here. But then on the battlefield fighting with Boninger, she realizes, like, oh my god, I could be my own person, and that'd be crazy. And so then she becomes her own person. And then this other guy, Ensign Ridhi, became evil. I don't know why.
Yeah, he had, like, dad issues, right?
I have no idea.
He was very upset at Zeon.
Yes.
Yeah. But it had something to do with his dad, right? Did I make that up?
There's a part there's a part early in, I think it's in episode 2, where they're on the equivalent of White Base.
Yeah.
And he, like, busts into
Nihil Organa,
the princess's little cell, and she and he's like, I watched a speech with my dad of the Zeon guys, and they kept saying Zig Zeon, Zig Zeon.
Oh yeah.
And I want you to say it. You say it. He was like so mad at her. It was very weird.
Yeah, because she's the heir to Zeon.
And he wanted her to say, you know,
this Zig woman, Zeon. This woman named she was Audrey. Like, dude, crazy. What was her real name? Minerva?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Yeah. Minerva, and they were on the Bail Organa spaceship.
Well, no, I like to think of it as the,
white base light.
It's white base.
It's white base
whiter,
too.
Whiter base.
Whiter base. After the Universal Center, it'd be the whitest base. But so far as I can tell, they're basically going to war because they don't want to go to war.
So, right.
And Char is there.
Well, so.
And Char wants to go to war.
Like, the Vist was going to give the box to the Zeon guys, and it was going to create chaos or something.
Inside the box is the key to the Federation's downfall.
Well, remember at the beginning of episode one, there's like the old man talking to this guy, and he's like, "Forgive me for the chaos I'm about to unleash," or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they were going to give, Vist was going to give the box to Zeon, and Zeon was going to like start a war, but then, oh, Princess Minerva, that's her name.
Minerva, that's right.
Minerva Zabi. She went to try to stop the handoff of the box to prevent the war.
Yes.
But then, of course, that makes them fight over the box.
Yes.
And that's how we learn that war is bad.
Yeah, war is bad. Okay. Okay, Jen, having only seen 6 and 7, do you have any questions that we might be able to answer?
You know...
I will try.
This was very anime, and by that I mean the end was like... I don't think the end is answerable. It goes into the whole, like, metaphysical, spiritual, philosophical side of the issue. And the box? I know what's in the box. I don't really know what the hubbub was over the box.
Oh, good. It's going to be disappointment.
Do you want to know what's in the box?
No, I'm going to watch it. Okay.
I will tell you, I wanted it to be, say, Iori's dad, but it wasn't.
Oh, nice. That'd be fucking awesome. Nice callback.
Nice crossover.
We know, like, what I kept thinking, I think I made this joke earlier already, but I kept thinking about the end of the movie 7. Have you guys seen the movie 7?
Yeah.
No. You've never seen 7, Andy?
No, I haven't. I know what's in the box is the line from it.
Yeah, so at the end, there's...
What's in the box?
Brad Pitt gets a box, and he's like, "What's in the box?" And Morgan Freeman looks in the box, and then he doesn't want to tell him what's in the box, because it's not very nice. Do you know what's in the box in 7, Andy?
Nope.
Should I tell you?
Yeah, fuck it. I haven't seen it yet.
it's Brad Pitt's wife's head.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's you should watch it though. Now that you, I mean, that, knowing that's not going to ruin the movie for you, it's still a really good movie.
It is okay. A good movie.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's really funny because he's like, "What's in the box? What's in the box?" And so that's kind of. I just thought this. I thought like this was the impression. Anime version of 7.
Pretty close.
Anyways,
that's well,
what I think about when they talked about Laplace's box.
Yeah.
In my mind, I made it Brad Pitt's box.
And because I never knew that the name of that space station that blew up was Laplace, I was like, well, who the fuck comes up with the name Laplace? I was so, like, upset about Laplace, and then I realized, why am I so upset about Laplace? These people are naming their children Banager and Minerva and Riddy.
Full frontal.
Full frontal.
The operating system. The operating system of Gundam the Unicorn is La Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
So I gotta ask this. Because of things I saw in episode 7, I need to know, is there like a shit ton of crazy anti new people racism going on that we see?
not crazy. There's a group of people who believe that new types are basically just pilots, and there's not really anything special about them, but I think the racism more boils down to that Zeon thought that all people would eventually become new types, and that that was the next evolution in humanity, and that's why Char is fighting. Well, that's why the original Char went to war, because he wanted to annihilate humanity on Earth to try and push all of humanity to being new types. He was trying to accelerate that evolution. But so far as I know, it's just like an extension of the Spacenoid versus Earthnoid conflict.
Earthnoid?
Okay. Earthnoid.
Yeah, I'll agree with Andy on that. If you really want to see some Earth versus space racism, watch Gundam Seed.
Oh, right. Yeah. I really want that racism.
Love racism.
I need to look up what they're called in Gundam Seed now. It's really bothering me.
Okay, wait. So, Jen, you said there was like a cool or not cool.
Oh, they're called coordinators. Sorry.
Okay. Coordinators. I don't want to put your words in your mouth and say that it was cool, but you said there was like a spiritual thing going on. There was, it's kind of alluded to before that with like, Marita says that, you know, when people move to space, they were told that, you know, in the Universal Century that it was past AD, it was past religion, that we moved on beyond that. And there was like a big ass cross, and there's kind of a thing like everybody in space is also kind of hella religious because there's no sun. That's basically how she explained it. There's no light in heavens above. So, God.
Well, yeah, they said something like when the people first moved to the asteroids, the asteroid belt, the sun was indistinguishable from other stars in the sky. Mm-hmm. So they had to, you know, like you said, they had to create their own light, and it was Judeo-Christian.
Thing?
Well, it was Abrahamic. Well, no, it was straight up like Christian because they have a cross. In
yeah, they have a giant cross.
Which yeah. is fine. I mean, you're allowed to be religious.
Yeah. I know. There's a weird thing like that kind of running through it.
I don't think necessarily it's meant to be like Christian overt commentary as like so much as like a spiritual
yeah
thing where people have to, like you said, they have to find their own light because they're not as close to the sun or something.
Yeah, the end was kind of, I think there were lines that were like, see how beautiful everything is, it's so wonderful, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm pretty sure we can all agree that the major breakdown of this is war is bad. But as much as I really hated Banager and his constant, like, pontificating on, we shouldn't fight, I'm not going to punch anybody, even though I'm in this really sick Gundam. Like, even though there was all the anti-war stuff, I think what was more effective was whenever there'd be, like, a stray beam from a Gundam going through the city, it would show you, like, just people getting straight up vaporized. Or, like, there was one commander dude who starts firing rockets from, like, a spacesuit at Char, and Char just, like, obliterates him, and he just splatters. The dude gets splattered across the wall. And just the amount of insane graphic Gundam violence and death that's shown throughout this show is way more effective of an anti-war message than all of the, like, soapboxing that goes on by the characters.
Yeah, actually, I remember there's a part where in the beginning, when they're in the classroom, you meet their teacher, like Mr. Bancroft or something.
Yeah.
And there's a scene later when the space station's like falling apart from the conflict, where he puts the students into the like shelter and then closes the door and then he gets vaporized.
Yeah.
And like, he saves the students.
It's not just like he's there and he's gone. You see him getting like ripped apart.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
It's dark.
And like as there's one where they're attacking a city, and there's a scene where there's a bunch of them fleeing into like a stadium for shelter, and then a stray beam blows up the stadium and you just see people getting blown apart. There's a scene with a woman running down like a fire escape with her kid in her hand, and a stray beam cuts into the building and she's just like immediately clobbered by a bunch of rubble. Like super brutal, brutal shit for the bystanders that happen in the show.
I mean, you kind of get it in the older Gundam. Like in the original series, there's a part where we kind of get it in the manga too. There's a part where Fra, Bo, and the like other citizens are trying to get to the shelters or get to White Base. I forget which. And Fra, Bo sees Almiro, and she runs. She kind of like runs away from the group to go help him, and then the group that she was with just gets all, they all get killed, and she's the only one who survives just because she happened to run off to help Amuro, and that's pretty, like, she turns around and, like, she was with her parents, and now her parents are dead. Like, she just turned her back, and then they were dead.
Oh man, I mentioned it. There was a similar scene to that in episode one of this, too, where it's Mike Hot, some kid, and their whiny friend, like, in the classroom, and they're like, the rest of the class is up on this platform, and they're like a half a platform below doing fucking something, I don't know, trying to get through a door. And this, like, beam comes by and obliterates their whole fucking class, except for the three of them. And they're too busy to notice. And nobody mentions it at first, and the fighting keeps happening, but there's just, like, a smoke cloud behind them now, where their class used to be. And then about 10 seconds later, Mycott, the girl, turns around, and she's like, oh my god, everybody's dead. And it's like, yeah, it happened in the blink of an eye, and you didn't even notice. Like, that shit is brutal. And I don't want to say that I loved it, because it's terribly violent, but it really, that was the most effective part of this entire anime, I think.
Yeah.
Boom. Done. So, Jen, does Mycott ever come back? Do you know who I'm talking about when I mention Mycott?
Hold on, let me look. I have the... How do you spell that?
M-I-C-O-T-T.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because for, like, the first two episodes, there was a weird, like, Mycott versus Mineva fighting for Banager's love kind of...
Oh, no, there's thing. No love triangle by the end. Yeah. It's very clear.
Well, not even fighting. Mycott was just jealous.
See, this is another type of character that's always in Gundam.
Yeah.
There's even one of these in Gundam Seed where she's like the spurned, jealous
female friend.
Kind of girlfriend, but not really. It's.
Because, David, when you pilot a Gundam, you got swagger.
Well, see, it gets really. Dude, it gets really. You guys need to watch Gundam Seed. It gets really, like, messed up in Gundam Seed because she loves the main character. Like, she's attracted to him, but then she finds out that he's a coordinator. So then she's like, she still is attracted to him, but she's also, like, super racist against him. So it literally makes her crazy.
What a romance.
I'm pretty sure she has red hair too in Gundam.
Nice.
Gundam Seed.
It's so weird that that's a thing. I have a question for you guys. Aaron Terzife, is he like a major character in the first six episodes or first five episodes?
I don't know off the top of my head who you're talking about.
Okay, I'm just curious because every time I watch something dubbed, I check the voice actor listings, and he was voiced by Will Wheaton.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's cool. I gotta see his work here, but I didn't.
Maybe...
Actually, he is... he kind of is significant.
Which one is he?
He's not significant. He's the... he's, like, works for the Vist Foundation, or he was a former Vist Foundation... Oh, no, he works for Anaheim Electronics. And he helps them, like, work on the unicorn because he's like one of the only people who has experience with it.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'm trying to describe him well. He's not in it a lot, Andy.
Yeah.
But he there's a part where early, it must have been like episode one or two after the Federation military captures the unicorn. He's like the technician who's helping them open the cockpit to get Banager out. He's kind of got like a comb over and a big forehead.
Okay. maybe I'll see him in episode 7 when I watch it tomorrow.
Andy, I'm going to send you a link.
So okay. Send me this link and I'll see what we got. Where's my mouse?
You will know who I'm talking about. He's got a big forehead. When I send this to you, you'll be like, oh,
guy,
I remember his forehead.
I remember fat guy with pinched eyes, and I remember...
No, it's he's one of... So this guy is like an underling.
I remember angry corporate MILF.
No, he's not that.
No, he's not angry corporate MILF.
Why was she so angry? Who was she? Why was she Why? Just why
I like that she... you know who I'm talking about just from Angry Corporate Mill.
She... I think it was pretty obvious.
So I think this foundation had a place of power because they controlled the box, right? And the unicorn was the key. And Angry Corporate MILF wanted to control the key so that then she could become rich like Vist Foundation was. Basically greed. I think she was very upset because she couldn't control everything that was going on.
Yeah, she was like real mad about the government.
Yeah. I think she might have been part of the government, kind of. I honestly don't know. So I gotta say, okay. I don't know necessarily if I liked this. I mean, I need to watch the last episode, of course. So this is a little bit preemptive of us to be recording and giving our opinion on this. I don't know if I liked this per se. But what I do appreciate about Gundam is that even in these more serious Gundams, they're constantly presented with the opportunity to say, in all seriousness, fire the hyper mega particle cannon. That's something I say when I'm fucking 12, fucking playing with action figures. Fire the hyper mega particle cannon.
Well, think of it this way. It's such a badass weapon that there isn't a better name for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so ridiculous and over the top and stupid, but I still kind of like it. But then every time they get something awesome like that, there's that sick quad wing that has the, like, satellite beams that they call funnels. I don't know why they're funnels.
Anime. I mean, that's what they were called back in the second, the series that followed, Mobile Suit Gundam, I think it was Gundam Zeta, that is when they started introducing funnels. And so it's a pretty common thing in mobile suits, later in the Universal Century, at least.
Okay. I don't know.
These little things that fly off of your mobile suit and then shoot lasers.
You can kind of quasi control with your mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. The quad wing one was cool. Char's was like ridiculous looking. And it didn't do anything more elaborate or cool than any other like Zaku does. But it's massive. It has all this extra shit on it that never gets used. I feel like that's a good description for most of the non-basic mobile suits, is they're massive and have a bunch of extra shit on them. Just to make them more extreme.
Well, I mean, how else will you know how cool they are?
Power creep, man. Power creep.
Well, I mean, you just add shit to it, right? That makes it cooler.
Yeah, well, there's the Zaku I want to buy that I showed you, David. The Psycho Zaku with, like, literally has 20 or 30 guns mounted on it.
Well, you saw the one I sent you, right? Where it's, like, a $45 kit and it has, like, a normal Zaku and then a gun on a tripod that's...
Yes.
Like, the whole assembly of the gun is larger than the Zaku.
Yeah, it's, like, twice as long as the Zaku is tall.
It's freaking sweet, man. I'm totally getting that one.
Good. Good.
Just because it's the most extreme. And it's clearly the most badass because, you know, it's definitely the most badass because it's got the biggest gun.
There's, I figured out what I'm really going to buy.
The only thing that could make it cooler is if it had funnels is what I'm
thinking. The Psycho one is kind of cool because it has a lot of guns, but it's kind of dumb because it has, like, way too many superfluous thrusters on it. The one I want
to
get is...
it needs them to maneuver.
No, you should see it. It's stupid. So I found a, like, purple, Zaku and, like, bright purple. So I'm going to get that Zaku and I'm going to paint part of it gold. So it'll be Saints Row themed. And then I'm going to take, you know how like the Zaku gun has like the round cylinder on the top? I'm going to paint it to look like a record and put it on the side of the gun and make it like a dubstep gun. So I'm going to have a pure Saints Row themed
Gundam. Or you could make it like, just leave it on the top. Like a, you know, I mean, it won't be the dubstep gun, but you could make it a record and he could like scratch it like he's a DJ.
Like Wiki Wiki on the top. Hell yeah. Yes. I'll have to find a little, like, piece of paperclip to make it look like there's the arm.
The sad thing is you can't, like, make him put his hand against his ear like he's got headphones on. Because he has to hold the gun, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can find him. Well, ooh, maybe I could buy the big-ass gun and turn that into a dubstep, like, a hyper-mega dubstep cannon.
Do it.
All right, this is stupid. You guys want to rate this?
Sure. I think
we need to rate this.
Sure.
I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this the three. Three?
God.
I mean, I haven't seen the last one, so I can't say for sure. But mostly, the characters I didn't like. I liked Mineva the more and more I got to know her, but everybody else I kind of just didn't like at all. When Noah Bright shows up, eventually he's pretty cool. But, yeah, most of them I didn't like in the story.
Would you say he was like a shining, bright
beacon? Yes, he was the bright spot of this, of this show.
Yeah.
But the plot I also didn't like. The whole war is bad thing. Like, I get it, but it's every episode was like 10 minutes of stupid Bang-Her, some kid, like, pontificating from a soapbox about how war is bad and we shouldn't kill each other and all that stuff.
Well, I mean,
he used the power of new type empathy to connect with the hearts of other new types to show how we can all live in peace beyond pretense.
I mean, he's not wrong, though. I think we can all agree that war is, in fact, bad.
Yes. Yeah. I just don't need a quarter of the show, or almost up to a third of the show sometimes, to be that so, like, it's, I already know. I know. You're preaching
Andy,
to the choir.
But that's what
I want to see more Gundam fighting.
That's what Gundam is about, though.
God damn it.
That's the whole premise of the...
But I'm giving it a three, because some of the Gundams are really cool, and the fight scenes were really sweet, and it's still Gundam, so three. Kind of like how, even though the Star Wars prequels suck, still lightsabers, so not that bad. So yeah, even as much of the stuff that I didn't like about this, still Gundam, so three.
Alright.
How about you, David?
I feel bad, like, rating it since I haven't finished watching it. If I would say, tune in next week to find out David's rating of Gundam Unicorn.
You can give it a preliminary rating, and then next
I'm
week
gonna
prelim- you can...
As a preliminary, I'm going to give this a 3.5, because I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what I've seen, so I will update... You know, I know you listeners are waiting with bated breath to
edge
find out.
My seat. I'm at the edge of my seat, and I'm not even a listener.
What I really feel, or what I really think about it. So tune in next week. For 3.5 so far, because I like it. I think it was cool. There was, you know, we didn't talk about this really, but I thought the animation in this one was actually really good.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
Like the shots of like the mobile suits flying through space, especially the unicorn, were really good. It was very clean animation. So you know. Well done, animators.
Yeah, it was legit. And I don't know if this is new for this show or if it's been like that for a while, but I really liked the monitor system inside the Gundam, like 360 view.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Just the chair. And with like heads up wherever you look. That was sick.
That was really cool, yeah. I will agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Jen? Have you only watched 6 and 7?
So, based on those, I'm actually going to give it a 3.5. It was pretty high quality. I thought the dub was solid. I did not watch the sub because I was feeling lazy and illiterate today. I
don't make me feel bad. I did it because I was tired of reading Bang-Her.
Well, I can't read good.
No. All right.
The characters, there was like nothing wrong with them. They all seemed pretty solid in the last two episodes. There is no whining or pontificating or even very much philosophizing. It was all shown and not just babbled at you, so I think that helped quite a bit. I feel a little disappointed by what was in the box based on all the hype and the war and all the people dying, but, you know, it's a very anime ending.
That's probably the point, is that war really isn't ever about anything important. And
yeah.
You really just need to learn to set aside your differences and become the better human race that you're all fighting to become anyway. I'm sure that's the bigger point that we could put together if any one of us had watched the whole show.
It kind of did that fairly literally.
Okay.
I don't think it was overly heavy-handed, though, so that was good. And I'm actually going to suggest this to my boyfriend because I genuinely think he'd like it, since it's like hard science-y enough, mm-hmm. that he might want to actually watch it.
Cool.
He should, I know I keep saying this, but he should check out Gundam Seed too.
Gundam Seed?
It's got some good hard science going on.
Maybe we should. Okay. Maybe we should, yeah.
Like they don't have FTL travel or anything. Like there's a big, one of the movies that spins out of Gundam Seed is about like leaving, is like deep space travel, so. There's a whole Gundam that's designed for like deep space flight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sick. You guys ready for Fight Night?
No.
Not at all.
All right. This week's Fight Night, just like every night, is brought to you by Patreon. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics to become a patron today. And in doing so, you can support the show. And you can tell us the topic of our next Fight Night. You can tell us the topic of the next comic we're going to read. You can just say, hey, what's up? Either way, it's a great way to catch a line to us and support the show. And there's all kinds of other cool perks. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics and see the kind of neat stuff you get when you become a patron.
Fight Night. Round one.
So, Fight Night. The rules that works is you're going to get a challenge. Each one of us is going to get a challenge. We pick a champion for the challenge, and we get 2 minutes to describe why that is the best choice for this challenge. And then at the end, we all have to vote for a choice that is not our own. And whoever gets the most points wins the round. The topic of this week is best mythical animal to turn into a giant robot. There was some confusion. I meant it as like Gundam unicorn. So like unicorns, cyclops, sirens, things like that, that you would want to turn into a Gundam or otherwise giant robot. Loch Ness monster, that kind of shit.
At first, I was going to say Chimera, but that seems fairly, like, played out and trite, honestly. So I'm going to go with El Chupacabra because, I mean, it might be spiky and scaly and generally scary. That I don't really know, but it will suck a goat, so there.
Round two.
I'm going to go with Bonacon. This is from Eastern Greece. This is a, it's basically a ram that has a mane like a horse. And when startled, just like a skunk, it sprays something at you. But whereas a skunk sprays the sticky stuff at you, a bonacon sprays acidic shit that burns through anything. And it burns like fire. So I think a bonacon Gundam that just like takes a dump on you and sprays you with acid out of his butt, I think that'd be really, really effective. I mean, there are others that are great, but think like countermeasures. When you're getting attacked from behind, you don't have to turn around and fight. No, just spray acid shit on the Gundam coming up behind you and it'll disintegrate. Immediate countermeasures, super actually useful, and would make for a really, really funny, Gundam show. Hey, if they're doing unicorns that stab people with their foreheads, try to stab me. I'll shit on you, bro.
Round three.
I still was confused because I thought we were supposed to pick an actual robot that was related to some kind of mythical creature.
It doesn't have to be a robot. You have to pick a creature that you would want to turn into a robot.
See, I was going to go with Mermaid Gundam because that's a real thing.
Oh, well.
Hmm.
But I'm wrong now.
You can pick a different thing. My other choice is going
to
be a Pluricon.
I have to think of something.
You can take my other choice.
I don't know what your other choice is. What was your other choice?
A Pluricon.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It's think like a leprechaun, but drunk.
So an Irish leprechaun? A more Irish leprechaun?
Yes. Instead of protecting gold, it protects wine cellars.
Oh. Also generally horny, right?
Yes. You know of the Pluricon, do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, God. No. Okay, how about, let's go with this.
Okay, David.
We were talking about, earlier in the episode, we were talking about how what makes something more extreme is if you add more shit to it, right? So yeah. Gundams have 2 arms and 2 legs, right?
Yeah.
Now, what if you doubled that? And you made it even bigger because you're going to make a Kraken Gundam. The Kraken is a giant monster squid, right? So it's already giant. Now you got to make it a giant robot version of that. And imagine you've got 8 arms. How many weapons you can hold with 8 arms? And it's adept at moving through water. It sounds like a fucking winner to me. So Kraken Gundam.
All right. Time to do the voting.
I pulled that out of my ass. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. I shot mine out of my ass. Time for the voting. I'm going to go first. I'm going to give my point to David. Because, David, it was more your delivery. Like, imagine the Gundam. Now give it two more arms. And two more arms. And I was sitting there like, yeah, yeah. Like building it in my head. Like building the Gunpla for it in my head.
Well, I mean,
and then
think
he went cracking
it, right?
And I was like, yeah.
Think about your favorite Gundam weapons. Now this Gundam can have them all.
That's true. All right, David?
Man, I don't know.
Chupacabra or Shitting Bull?
I gotta go with Shitting Bull. I mean, you sold it really well. I mean, and I love a good poop joke, so. Oh no, it's a shitting ram, right?
Yeah, it's kind of,
isn't there like from some movie, there's a Native American named Sitting Bull?
Yes.
So that's
there was a real person named Sitting Bull. It wasn't just a movie.
Oh, apparently.
Although there's reports,
now I feel bad about saying
it's kind of cheating. The Bonicon might have been real. It was apparently. I'm like doing more research on it now. It apparently was described by Pliny the Elder, and it's on like some tapestry.
It was probably just an exaggerated hippopotamus because they do that when they're scared.
Isn't Pliny the Elder just a beer guy?
No. Pliny the Elder
is
a real person, real historian. Okay. All right, Jen, Shitting Bull or Kraken?
This is really hard, mostly because...
I'm not going to try to add to it.
This is so difficult, mostly because I will say that Shitting Bull is way more awesome for a Gundam concept, but David's, like, improvisation and delivery were spot on, so I'm going to have to give the point to David.
God damn it, I thought for sure I would have this with the Shitting Bull.
Well, this is what I was going to add, but then I realized I had my time to sell it. I was going to say, if you really want a Gundam that shoots flaming shit, you can just make a shit fire gun and give it to the Kraken Gundam, because he can hold it. He's got enough arms.
That's true.
Yeah, well.
That's a good point.
Winner, David.
Andy, I really wanted you to win, Andy. I think you.
I know. I tried really hard.
That was a strong
obscure
entry.
Yeah,
it's a very strong entry.
I shot the moon and then I shit on it.
You should give yourself a point just for funsies.
I'm gonna give myself a half point. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, I think you deserve a half point.
Okay. I think so, too. Right.
I mean, not only did...
I'm still in last, but...
I mean, it's an entertaining concept. I learned something new. I'd never heard of this creature that shoots firing poo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I think we all, you know... Even though I walked away with a point, I think we all walked away as better human beings. More worldly, ultra individuals.
Oh, this is our best episode in a while. Love it.
We barely watched the topic.
Are you fucking kidding me? I watched that shit for 6 goddamn hours.
Oh, yeah, you did. I'm going to watch it now.
You watched it for 4 hours. Usually we just do, like, a trade. It takes, like, an hour and a half. We all overcommitted here.
I mean, it's your fault.
It's totally my fault. Anyway, next week we're going to go back to the Build Fighters universe. We're going to watch Gundam Build Fighters Try. And in the spirit of this episode, we're going to watch episodes 19 to 25, the last 6 of the show. Because those are the episodes that feature the Denial Gundam, which is one that one of us built. So between
it's
now
not
and
just
then,
a river in Egypt Gundam.
No.
Oh, that was a dad joke.
See, I've they're pent up inside me, but my children are not old enough to get them yet. So they were thrown at it. So
give it time. Give it time. They'll get there. So yeah, I'm gonna between now and then I want to finish watching Gundam Build Fighters, and then I want to watch all of Gundam Build Fighters Try. So you guys know what I'm gonna do this weekend.
It's worth it. Those shows are amazing,
dude. They are. And I had just finished editing that episode and like groaning at my description of the mom with like the awkwardly jiggly breasts in this like Pokemon Gunpla show, And then the very next episode after that we didn't watch is the, like, obligatory fan service-y beach episode.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Where she's, like, in a bikini. The and there's a scene with her standing next to the girl, and stupid Ray, she's, like, looking back and forth and makes a dumb boob comment. Oh, my God. It's priceless and terrible. And it wasn't just me. I feel validated. That's the word. So, yeah, next week, we're going to look out for the Denial Gundam in Gundam Build Fighters Try, episodes 19 to 25. I'm going to update the link on welcometocomics.com for this week's show in case you didn't get a chance to watch it. But if you didn't watch it, I don't know what the fuck you're doing right now. Anyway.
All right.
That's going to be on there. But for next week, the YouTube link for Gundam Build Fighters Try does still work. So you can click on that one. You can watch all 25 episodes of that.
And, you don't have to try very hard to watch it.
No. Oh, my God. My wife, when she was recording the intros for these, she was like, Gundam Build Fighters. Like, Gundam Build Fighters Try. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, not third, right? Like, try as in, like, try really hard. And I'm like, yeah. She says, oh, so the first time they tried to build fighters, and they failed. So the second time, they're trying really hard. I was like, sure. That sounds about right.
I appreciate that logic. It follows.
It's good headcanon.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week, Gundam Build Fighters Try, episodes 19 to 25. Until then, everybody, goodbye!
Goodbye. Bye.
I've been on r/Gunpla on Reddit, and I know they're super expensive, but these perfect-grade kits are fucking beautiful.
Some they look amazing.
Some they're of them too, are just baller as hell.
They're too big to put anywhere, though. That's yeah.
Yeah, like this one's got one. It's like he's doing the Banshee Norn, and it's like it's as tall as the coffee table he's building it on is wide.
Damn.
I'm like, that's taller than some people's television. What the fuck are you gonna do with this? The shield for the Banshee Norn. He's got a banana for comparison. He's got 2.5 bananas lined up along just the shield for the Banshee Norn.
Wow.
Like,
you have to have dedicated storage, I feel, if you're going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have, like, a glass case for your Gunpla.